What's up, everyone, and welcome to episode 278 of Two Amazon Sellers and a Microphone, brought to you by Celozo. Today, we're excited. We're excited about our guest, and we're excited about our topic. Launching products on Amazon in 2023 is very different than it was when Chris and I, and I'm sure Alina also, started years ago. The strategies are different. Things you used to be able to do, you can't do. So everyone has to get creative to really have a successful launch. And we're going to talk about all of that and so much more with our guest, Alina. Like, how are you, Alina?
I'm good. Very good. How are you? Very happy to be here.
We are good. And we were just talking a few minutes ago before we went live. But you're in Romania right now. So what time is it there?
It's 6 p.m.
So, okay, that's not too bad.
Yeah. No,
that's not too 10 a.m. here. We're super excited to talk to you. Like Chris was talking before we went live, we've seen you speak. We've seen your content out there. Wealth of knowledge. You've been a seller. You started PressX. You started AZ Rank. I mean, there's lots to talk about. So I want to turn it over to you for a little bit to sort of introduce yourself to both us and the people watching and listening. Give us a little background of your journey.
Sure thing. I'm going to try to keep it short so we can focus on
some, okay, either way. If it's long, that's fine too.
Yeah, so we started, and it's my husband and I. We've been together in this whole game of Amazon since 2017. We started as sellers on Amazon UK back then, and then expanded to Europe. I'm currently not selling in Europe anymore, but planning on getting back there. And the story is that we have another business here in Romania, a business which still exists and was born in 2005. So it's 18 years old almost. We do retail, not retail, like we're distributors, and brand distributors of toys and baby items and children items. So since we have that and the warehouse and the whole bunch of products here, we said, okay, why don't we start learning Amazon using those products? We kind of did like a wholesale model, but the products that we actually listed on Amazon UK weren't there. The brand was there, but the product themselves, the brand wasn't selling on Amazon, to be short. So we started learning how to do listing optimization, PPC, all that, in 2017. It was very, not very easy, but way easier than it is today. So we did that. We actually did pretty good. And I said, okay, we're good. We know Amazon right now. We can do private label. Let's go to private label in the US, country of all dreams. the main marketplace of Amazon. So that's how we started our first private label brand. It was baby, since I was just a new mom with my second child. My daughter was just born, and I said, okay, so I pretty much know stuff about baby, right? So it was a long story short, complete failure, full-time failure of that brand. Doesn't exist anymore. And the story. Lost a lot of money, tried everything. But the good thing, the best thing that came from all this was, besides AZ Rank, because AZ Rank was, that was the moment when AZ Rank was born. I tried to, since I had that need, I tried to solve my need and other sellers' need in a different way. But the main thing that came out of this was me being here today, because probably if it weren't for that failure and if things would have gone well, I wouldn't have struggled that much and learned so much and started, watching tons of podcasts and content and trying to succeed, because I knew back then, and as I know right now, that I like this. This is what I want to do. So in a nutshell, that's pretty much it. AZ Rank was born there, 2018. And then 2022, beginning of 2022, we launched PressX, which is another service that helps with ranking, but doesn't, kind of. So it's more related to external traffic on Amazon, outside Amazon also. And then we launched PhotoLive, which is a service that does UGC. And we're trying to add stuff that people need and stuff that we can do well with our knowledge and resources. So I think that's it. And we're still sellers. We don't have the baby brand, but we have two other brands doing decent. We could do better if the day were 72 hours long.
I really enjoy your story and your honesty. Failure is a huge part of this journey for a lot of people. I mean, especially I can take the flip side, because you mentioned that your first product not being the success you had hoped for. Your first private label, obviously your wholesale was, it was doing well, but your first private label, I kind of had the flip where the very first product I launched, because it was around 2014, took off, and it seemed like really hardly any work. I was able to really sell it. That was one of the worst things that happened, because I got way too complacent. I was like, oh, this is easy. I'll just do like 1,000 products like this and then go retire. But I just got really complacent. And then by around 2017, 2018, that product got wiped out. And
things change very fast.
I failed after I thought I had succeeded, which was probably worse.
I don't know if I can say which one is worse, but the thing is, you're still here right now. Chris is here. I'm here. A lot of other people who have failed their first products or brands are here. So that means something to me. I mean, it's, and again, a lot of people aren't here anymore. Yeah. I know a lot of them. We've been dealing with thousands of clients. So
That failure was an education, and that was a cheaper education than going somewhere to get educated.
The best education ever. I would recommend people do that, but that doesn't kind of sound good. Go find a product and then start learning.
Yeah, you're right. Like, just jump in and get involved, do something, pick a product, learn how to sell, list something on Amazon. And one thing I like about your story is you take action. Like, there's like four different things going on, but like, you just were like, the hell with it. We're starting AZ Rank, and now I'm starting PressX, and then we're doing this UGC thing. Like, you just keep taking action. So that's another takeaway that people can learn, is like, just keep moving on and doing something. So kudos to you. That's really, it's really passionate. I mean, I don't know how you have the time.
I don't know either. That's why I said I really wish the day could be at least 48 hours, if not longer.
Of the ones that you got, AZ Rank, PressX, and I missed the last one, but it was about UGC. Yes. PhotoLive. Where do they stand? How are they, does one do better than the other? Or do
more people? It's different. Each and every one of them are very different. And all that comes on top of our business here and on top of our Amazon selling. So it's kind of a mix. But I think AZ Rank is the most strong still from the services, because it's the oldest. I don't know if that's the right English word for it. It's been there for the longest time. The others are catching up pretty quickly, though.
Give us a sort of an overview of the three services. Like, what do you do with AZ Rank? What does PressX focus on, and PhotoLive?
Okay, so AZ Rank, we do ranking. We used to do the classic, the good old search find buy when they were allowed. I mean, allowed. we don't go into that conversation.
You can do what you want out there, okay? Do what you want. Just take what you're hearing with a grain of salt.
Yeah. So we started in 2018, sorry, with the AZ Rank certified by in a kind of a different way. We do consult, we did consulting, we still do consulting. I mean, we tell people if we think that keyword is good to rank for, why not, what other keywords, stuff like that. Then 2021 came and TOS changed and we had to pivot, and we pivoted. We're right now in a point where we're still doing the ranking campaigns. They're working very well, but they are more kind of a, like a market research umbrella. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to go into details, maybe later. So it's market research ends up with the purchase, ends up with the ranking. We still do keywords, but in a different way. I mean, we still focus on keywords, but in a different way. Campaigns are actually working much, much better than before because of all this. It's more complex than before. It's not just search, find, and buy. So that's number one. PressX does, we do press articles, press releases into very famous publications in US and UK for now. Titles like Cosmopolitan, Vogue, BuzzFeed, Bustle, so pretty Forbes, pretty big names. And it is a CPC model. So you only get charged if you get the clicks for the article, but you still get the article. So you get the article published, and whether the traffic comes, I mean, if the traffic comes, you will get charged with certain budgets based on the CPC. But if the traffic doesn't come, you just don't get charged. You just get the article there. And there are a lot of good things that happen afterwards. We can go into details later. And then PhotoLive is user-generated content. So we have a lot of people that we work with, like buyers, right, in our buyer pool. Some of them are pretty talented. So we started doing this user-generated content, which is real, genuine content, photos and video with your products, whatever you want to do, unboxing, presenting the photo, the product, whatever. We do, for example, I don't think anybody else does this. We do Q&A videos.
Huh.
Not a lot of sellers know. This is one of the most underused sections on Amazon, the Q&A section. And not a lot of sellers know that you can actually answer those questions that you get from people with a video. So you can put a lot of content out there. It's free. You can, like, tons of videos you can for every question you get. We do those kind of, that kind of videos. We do comparison videos. We do TikTok videos. And we just, you know, it's real life. It's not influencer posted. It's not nothing fancy. It's just content, easy and fast, let's say. Yeah. And not very.
I like the Q&A video idea. So if someone's launching a product, and I've heard this in around, and people in the space know, like you can seed Q&A pre questions in there. I don't know if it's TOS, but I've heard people doing this where you can seed question and answers to your listing, and you can answer them with the video. What are type of those Q&A topics? Do they rank, help you rank better? Or are you getting better SEO juice from it? Or what's that do?
Yes, that's two. So first of all, when a buyer posts a question on your video, on your product, it can be either answered by another buyer who previously bought the same product. All the buyers that have their data into Amazon receive that question, and the seller receives that question. The buyers can only answer with a text, the written answer. The seller, though, has text or video, but you can do both. I mean, it's not or, it's actually and. The text, it does help you rank just a little bit. We've done some tests, but it's nothing spectacular. What it does, though, is it help you index for keywords, for difficult keywords, for forbidden keywords, for keywords that you have a hard time getting indexed on for whatever reason. So use the text to answer using keywords in the text, and then add the video. Now the video, you can be creative with the videos as well. Just answer the person's question in the first 10 or 15 seconds, and then just offer more information, another 30 seconds about your product. You know, make it funny, make it make them want to stay, watch longer. Because what happens, especially on mobile, but on desktop as well. So on mobile, when you scroll down, every person that scrolls down to the reviews, first they bump into the Q&A videos. It's like the whole screen. And it's a video. I mean, come on, people stop and see what's here. Let me see that. So that helps with your tremendously with your conversion rates.
Hmm. Wow. I've got so many questions. This is fascinating. but I also think that all these services that you're offering right now are a result of the way that Amazon has evolved and the competition. Exactly. Like we were talking about, you know, even you launched in 2017. We were a few years before that launching. None of this was necessary.
Right?
You could, I mean, I've told this story many times before, but I emailed reviewers at Amazon and asked them if they wanted to review my product. And I just mailed it to, I have 100 reviews like that on products, and you'd be ranked and there's limited competition. But now you've number one, you've got large brands that are really taking their Amazon presence much more seriously. They've got a lot of capital behind it. You've got more professional third-party sellers that are 100% doing a very good job with their listings, A-plus content, outside Amazon traffic, which now Amazon rewards. There's so much that you've got to pay attention to. If you're going to invest all this time in a product and really want to grow your brand, these things are now critical. And so you're tackling them and you're helping sellers, because it's really difficult to be a one man or one woman show now. It was much easier back in the day.
It was. And I mean, you can still do it right now, but you need to set up your expectations right. And from what we've seen, talking to so many sellers, everybody wants to succeed on Amazon, and people are starting not to believe, which I'm very glad they stopped believing into that €2,000 $2,000 in Europe, it's euro, €2,000. You know, you invest $2,000, put a product on Amazon, and then work 2 hours from the beach with the laptop and okay, like, buy a Lamborghini in 6 months. Come on, it's not, it never happened, mm-hmm. especially right now. So you need to get a minimum. This is like basic, a little bit over basic. It's a little bit more than an A-plus and a PPC and stuff like that. But you need to have them in order to succeed. All the external traffic and all the things you mentioned about.
What's your thoughts on re-ranking a product? You know, if I've got a product that I've been selling, you know, for some odd months, you know, maybe even years, and it's gone down organically, what are some good ways to, you know, get that ranking back?
So first of all, before putting any money into any ranking campaign or any press or anything, I've seen this a lot. So people come, sellers come and say, hey, my product is, I don't know, it used to do good. It went down. I don't know what happened. So we've had a pretty large number of cases where there was a problem in the back end, in the flat file. It was an attack. Somebody filled in something, so a different contribution. And we tried, for example, it was a friend's product in the pet category. Very good. It was number one for years in that category. At one point went down and couldn't lift it up. And apparently it was attacked by a very friendly competitor who modified their listing, so contributed to their listing. Amazon somehow accepted, probably via Canada, because they're going through there a lot. And when we checked the flag file, they had some compliance fields filled in there, just basic info, it wasn't anything dangerous, but only the fact that those cells were filled, it was an issue. After that was solved, we could re-rank it. So first check that subcategory, category, flat file, all that. If everything looks good, then we can look into a ranking campaign. And yes, we've had success with re-ranking, even ear products that have been there for years. You have to do like a longer campaign if we're gonna do like a market research surveys type that we do, put a little bit of extra PPC, and necessarily it's a must to bring some external traffic. However you want, Google Ads, press articles, you name it, but it has to be there. And all this combined with a longer, at least 30 days, but you can get it back.
You mentioned they were attacked. They were attacked through the Canada listing. What do you mean by that?
So, for example, if you're selling in the US, right, but you have also the products active on Canada, be it via what's the name of that Amazon program that they ship NARF? From your warehouse? Yes. No. Either that, or you actually have inventory in Canada, so the same listing is active. There was a time, I think it was 2 or 3 years ago, when this started. So a lot of sellers got kind of hijacked, but they were just receiving all kind of. The competitors were putting like forbidden keywords into their listings, all sort of that stuff through the Canada. So they were attacking the Canada ASIN, but wow. Which was Mason as the US, so eventually the US got in trouble.
Wow.
Too. It's less and less happening, but a couple of years ago I've had some friends that had major issues in the beauty category. It was like a lot of them in the beauty category.
Yeah. I may look into that actually. Speaking of the product that I was talking about that was great and then tanked. I did sell it in Canada for a while and then stopped selling it in Canada. But there, you know, some of that could be very malicious and some of that is innocent, I'm sure.
Yes.
You know, somebody, a reseller selling it or something, and they make an adjustment to it and Amazon accepts it.
And yeah, but usually it doesn't cause any issues. If the guys who, I mean, and even if 10 resellers are on a very good listing, a very with good performances, it won't affect you. The problem is that the guys, our friends from across the ocean who make those contributions to our listings, they are dedicated. I mean, with bad intentions, I mean.
Yes.
But this is something that I would recommend anybody. For example, me, I'm downloading my flat files every month. I don't look at them that thoroughly, maybe every month, but whenever I have the time, I go through them and see. You never know what you may find there.
Yeah.
And especially if you have like a feeling this product can do better or did better and now something's wrong, that's the first place I would go.
That's a great tip, though, for everybody, because before you invest that money in re-ranking it, make sure there's no root problem where your money and your efforts are going to be wasted. That's fascinating.
Something else that we found out, sorry for interrupting, but I think it's also good information. You know, Amazon, I think it was 1 or 2 years ago, they started messing up with the title number of characters. There were some categories they wanted 80, but they were allowing you over 80 up to 200 still, where we had a lot of situations where the listing got penalized by Amazon and deranked because it wasn't 80. So because it was more than 80, even if that specific category was allowing 200. Mm. So another tip, just try with a shorter title, A-B test, split test with a shorter title for a little bit and see what happens. I've seen ranks go like that just from the title.
Interesting.
That's scary.
That is.
I see a lot of this every day.
So
I got some products now. I'm like, maybe I should just change the title.
checking that flat file is something that should be a part of everybody's process, you know, on an ongoing basis. Talk about, because you were talking about PressX and your unique model of the cost per click for articles. This is interesting to me, very interesting, because a lot of times that can be, you know, getting press or getting articles can be expensive with no clue on what the results are going to be. So this sounds very interesting. Dive into a little bit more about how this process works.
Of course. So basically we have these connections with, it's over 150 publishers in total, in the US, and around 85 or 90 in the UK. Not all of them are extremely active. I mean, not all of them take products and write about Amazon products on a daily basis. But we have a few that are very, very active and delivering very good results. For example, we had Prime Day. I'm going to use some specific examples so you can understand better, and the listeners as well. So, for example, in Prime Day, as well as Black Friday, Christmas, and all the other major shopping holidays of the year, there are those articles, listicles, we call them, top 20 best Prime Day deals on 2023, right? And then there are a bunch of articles. So we featured some brands into those articles. And it was just for Prime Day campaign, just for those 2 days, the traffic. How many clicks they got, that's all they paid for. And the product was there. It's still there if you're going to check the Prime Day, that listicle. It's going to be there until Prime Day next year. Now, it's not like a real article. It's just like, you know, just listicle. It's basic. But the funny thing is, either for listicles, but also for dedicated articles, you can then go ahead and make your own Google Ads dedicated, I mean, targeting that article, and that gets you traffic, because the clicks that we charge for, so that CPC is for the clicks that actually go to your Amazon page, not the clicks on the article, right? Mm-hmm. And the link people click on in order to do that is your attribution.
Mm.
So you got the, right?
Yeah, that in most cases might cover the cost of the traffic.
Our CPC is not very cheap. So just to make yourself an idea, it's around $2.5 per click. I know it's not cheap. For some categories, can be very cheap compared to the Amazon CPC, PPC. Now, we don't have any other costs other than a one-time onboarding fee of $500 per brand. Doesn't matter how many products, how many articles, just one-time fee. And on top of that, it's just the budget for the clicks. We have some tiers, right? We start at $3,000, $6,000, $9,000, and $12,000. But all that budget, it's just like a commitment. You don't have to pay it all at once. If it gets traffic, you pay. If not, you don't. It's just like the publishers, they write the article themselves. And sometimes they're doing like very strong, dedicated articles towards that product or towards that brand. And then, you know, all that work, there's a lot of work into that. So they say, okay, I'm going to work on this. And then the publication pushes the article on their newsletters, on their websites, and all their audience. And they say, okay, for that, I want this commitment that if this article performs well, you agree to pay this minimum budget. Most of the time, I mean, not most of the time, but oftentimes sellers want to extend that minimum budget because the campaign is doing well.
What are some good categories? What are some good categories for this?
Categories, beauty is one of the best categories. Home and decor, like home in general. But beauty, everything that's connected to beauty, from lingerie to perfumes to face creams to everything that has to do, pretty much women products. We have a few men dedicated magazines that do well, but not that much. So we're getting there. We have good results with some essential oils. Also, not spectacular in terms of ROAS because there were the selling price was cheap. So for a $9 product with a 2.5 CPC, it's a little bit tricky.
Yeah, it's really, yeah. Heads up.
How about the impact of that type of marketing on your rank? You know, we've heard a lot from a lot of other people that Amazon is weighing outside traffic heavier potentially than internal or platform traffic. So if you're able to get sales that are driven from let's say an article, do you see a faster spike in rank than if you were just doing PPC?
Oh yes, definitely. I mean, I have always been I'm missing the word. So I have always been recommending everybody not to do just one thing. This is based like years ago. Do not just use me for ranking and forget about PPC. Do not just do PPC. Try to do something else, even if you don't do our type of campaigns. Do a little bit of Google Ads. So more little actions produce a halo effect, which is what Amazon likes. This is what happens with the press as well. So since we put the attribution in there, and we usually recommend putting the attribution and not other type of links, because it's kind of worth it to get that 10% back from the brand referral bonus. But at the same time, in November 2021, when TOS changed in Amazon, they forbidden the use of those super URLs and two-step URLs and any link that has a keyword inside because of search manipulation, right? So I totally recommend don't do that, because when you use the links, and this is valid for everything, they leave marks, they leave tracks, so can be easily followed back. So use your attribution or use your canonical. Now, both of those help you rank. Now, if your main keyword has 100,000 search volume per month, don't expect miracles. Like, and you're in position 100, don't expect to get in top 10 from a press article. It's not going to happen. But if your keywords are, I mean, if you're like in a lower competition niche, yes, we see good results in ranking. And usually the keywords that rank are the keywords that are the most relevant ones for your product that Amazon sees. You know, I mean, if you're selling a garlic press would be your your most relevant keywords, and then stainless steel garlic press and all that. We don't go broad. So the broader keywords usually don't have too much. The press articles, the clicks themselves don't have too much impact on those. But on your very relevant keyword, top 20, 30 keywords, yes, there is movement.
Let's talk a little bit about the user-generated content some more, because this is very interesting to me. I mean, when I hear user-generated content, I immediately think influencer marketing. It sounds like which can be very valuable too. But it sounds like yours is different. That these are, like you're talking about, you can use these videos for unboxing or for Q&A or just
anything. They're yours. Once we give them to you, they're yours. You can combine them, divide them, do whatever from, for example, from a 3 minutes video that we make or a 2 minutes video that we make, you can create 20 TikTok videos, smaller one with just a basic editing tool that you can find online. So after we give them to you, post them anywhere, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, all your social media, your website, content. It's content and it's going to get indexed out there.
That's what I was going to ask, is where are the most valuable places to put this? I mean, are people putting these on their listings, like as a video for the, in the area where all the photos go, where there's a video below it? Are they doing Amazon posts? Are, you know, obviously social media, where do you
see? So besides social media, besides using them for ads, or we have a special category that we do, like smaller videos, shorter videos that can be used for ads. But the most valuable and again underused section on Amazon is that line of videos that used to be called related videos, and now it's called uploaded videos, if I'm not mistaken. They keep changing. So that line of videos, if you don't put your own videos in there, the competitors will. If you go check your products right now, if you haven't done this already, if you go check your listings, you're going to see that there are a lot of competitors with their videos out there. And they're getting free traffic from your listing. It's kind of similar to Amazon Post, Amazon Live, but it's there. It's on your listing. And you, technically, you own that space, but it's open to everybody else. And again, it's for free. It's not, they're not charging. Amazon is not charging anything for that yet. We don't know for how long, but since it's free, why don't you fill it in with your videos and your content? This way you can stop your competitors to put videos in there. We have some brands, very powerful brands on Amazon as clients, and they, before the launch, they come to us, order a bunch of videos, and the day the product is live, that line is full with at least 5 or 6.
Wow.
And then they're doing more afterwards. Because it's especially in your honeymoon, right? When you get all those benefits from Amazon, you need to show people more content. It will increase your conversion rate. I mean, if it doesn't, at least you don't have anything to lose other than get some content there.
Something I want to point out is the time on page probably is really relevant to Amazon's ranking. Yeah. So all these video spots that we're talking about and this Q&A section where you could put videos in, think about in Amazon's interest, they're like, well, these people are on this product page for minutes. And yes, this is helping you rank better, probably more than somebody who doesn't have these videos, because people are spending time on your page.
It's a leverage that you have, and it's very easy to obtain. I mean, you don't even have to come to us. You can do them yourself, especially the Q&A video. I was talking to somebody else the other day in another podcast, and he was saying, how would you feel about the brand owner doing that video, like the Q&A, answering the people's question? And I think that's a great idea. I would do it. I did it actually for my videos. I know a lot of people don't want to be in front of the camera or don't want other people to know that they're behind the brand. But if you don't have that type of issue, you should do that, because you know, you create that connection and people say, hey, this is like the brand owner answering my question. And that's something. You might even get a good review.
Yeah, they trust you, they come back, and if you sell a consumable, you may got a customer for life.
Yeah, for sure.
This has been good.
It is. It's fascinating. I know we've been firing a lot of questions at you. I've got one more to kind of wrap
fire
it up.
Away.
Are the majority of the clients that you work with, are they Amazon sellers, or are you doing a lot of this like PressX and everything else to maybe send traffic to their Shopify store or to Walmart or other marketplaces?
The big majority is Amazon sellers, but we have Walmart sellers, we have Etsy, we have outside Amazon, like Shopify, iHerb, and Chewy, and all kind of all those marketplaces. So there are other sections, but our most most of the people we work with are Amazon sellers.
What do you see with Walmart? I know Walmart was getting a big push a year or so ago, and people probably went over there to sell. What are you seeing as far as traction with sellers? Are people sticking around? Are they trying it and leaving? What do you see?
Most of them are sticking around. I'm a Walmart seller myself. And I'm going to tell you this story. Nobody believes me, but I'm probably going to make it a case study so I can actually show you that it's true and I'm not lying. So I had a seasonal product. It was a Christmas product that I was selling on Amazon 2 years ago. And so not last Christmas, the other one. So, and I was struggling on Amazon. You know, PPC was terrible. It was a $15, $17 product. You couldn't do that much. And I said, okay, let me put it on Walmart. Let me try. I have been selling on Walmart, and I have some products that were doing very, very well on Walmart, especially in Q4. So with this product, I was struggling to have maybe 50 orders a day on Amazon, maybe 80, which is nothing in Christmas time for us. And I put it there. I did like 3 reviews or something. It's important to have at least one for Walmart. And you still can do it like Amazon 2014. It's okay. It's not forbidden yet. And I got to 200 and or between 200 and 250 orders per day for that product on Walmart. And I was trying to, I was thinking of stopping it, and I continued it for 2 more years. So it is, the trend is very good. I'm highly recommending. Now, depends also a lot on the products you sell. Not all of them are special for Walmart. Walmart shoppers usually look for cheaper items, consumables, stuff that it's normal to be in your house, if that makes sense. So not like very fancy things. Keywords are basic, more basic on Amazon, just the main keywords, stuff like that. Walmart is investing a lot into everything. You know, they're building more warehouses, they're like fulfillment centers. I say that Walmart right now is like Amazon 10 years ago. And it's so much fun when you don't have any tools, nothing. You just put it there and see. But it works. I mean, for me, and this is not a singular case. I have a brand that I do only Walmart for, and it does well. Not that great during the year, but in Q4, it pays off.
Fascinating. Yeah. Alina, we've learned a lot today. This has been a lot of fun. We really appreciate it. And I know there's people listening also that are interested in your services, and I want to make sure they know where to go to reach out to you. We've got PressXLive.com streaming across the bottom here for anybody watching. But what's the best way for people to get in contact with you and start the conversation to begin working with you?
Any of the websites, so PressXLive.com is one of them. We have also PressX.live, which is the same thing. Myself, with my name on any social media platform, I'm usually very responsive. And my email is Alina, which is my first name, at azrank.com. And also on azrank.com, the website, we have a contact form. Just reach out, and if you mention you're coming from this podcast, you might get a surprise.
Yes, we'll definitely mention that when you guys reach out to Alina.
But, thank you.
Thank you so much for joining us. This marketing, all the different ways you can market products is constantly changing. People are coming up with creative ways. I know you're a part of that. And so we'd love to get you back on in the future just to talk about all the new creative ways that you come up with to help people like Chris and myself market our products to customers. Sure. But it's been a lot of fun. Thank you.
Yes.
thank you very much. And thanks everybody for tuning in today. We'll be back at it on the next episode. Have a